Attention, radio listeners.
Oh, Thomas, get out of town. Wow.
Let me have your attention for a moment.
Goodness, is that a message? Oh, mommy, please, get me out of this game.
You weren't paying any attention.
Interesting move here, Bill. Shays came into the basketball game. Jim Boeheim has inserted Shays into the game. Big guy inside, maybe to help eliminate that second or third shot.
Your attention, please.
This is Centers of Attention with Aton Thomas and Danny Shays.
And good morning. Welcome on Centers of Attention. I'm Danny Shays and in for Aton Thomas today. We got my old buddy Seth Goldberg reuniting the dynamic duo. We got to come up with a better name than that. But
nope. Take two, partner. Not Seth Goldberg. Nope. He comes on at noon.
Oh, Seth Everett jumped in.
Coming down. Beautiful. In 3, 2, 1. You're up.
All right, let's start over. Welcome to Centers of Attention with Danny Shays in for Aton Thomas. We've got Seth Everett checking in. See, this is the All Seth All the Time Network.
That's right. Anything before noon. Nobody else gets to work before noon, so we come in. I anchor everything around just noon. Anything in the a.m. time, I'm your host.
Excellent. Well, it's always a thrill to have you on, Seth. You know, we got a couple of big NCAA stories we'll kind of get into. And, you know, I think LeBron in China is trying to make the transition into, hey, let's actually play a preseason game, you know, and maybe get our attention back on that. But, you know, let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
And, you know, and of course, we've got the World Series, man. It's going to turn into the baseball playoffs are turning into something pretty exciting. But on the NCAA front, you know, we've kind of really followed this the story about Prop 206 in California, allowing, as you know, college players to earn money. We, you know, Coach Boeheim has finally come out for it in limited ways. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things that need to be worked out detail wise. But now we've got the federal government has finally stepped in, Mitt Romney coming out and saying that, you know, laying down the gauntlet, NCAA, we're coming for you. You better come up with a plan that covers the colleges nationwide. We're not going to let you sit there and, have this patchwork of different states with different rules and different things that are just going to, you know, screw the whole thing up. So according to Mitt, Congress is ready to act. And like I said, we're coming for you, NCAA.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, again, you know, just because a politician says that they're going to have some meetings and they're going to go for it, I'd like to see a better groundswell. I'd like to see more states getting involved. I'd like to see other governors come in and show support to just see if this has a shelf life. But right now, I think it's still in the infancy. I don't think this thing gets implemented. I would think two more seasons. I mean, at least two more seasons. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of Title IX and how do you spread out the payments and things like that. And what does it mean for scholarships? And what is the value of a scholarship? I've always said, and I'm on record as saying this, and I don't take it back, I think there's a numerical value to a scholarship. I think anybody who's struggling with student debt knows exactly what the value of tuition is. And I think that I usually bring it up in a form of discipline. Whenever a player breaks a rule or stays out too late or punches somebody or does something to get in trouble, people talk about all the discipline. I would send him a bill. And I would say, here, you have to pay your tuition for that week, and you'd never get any problems whatsoever. I think the value of the scholarship is completely overlooked, and I've always believed that. I know there's corruption. I know it's not all above board, and I'm not naive, but I think the value of the scholarship is still valuable.
Well, I agree with that part of it, and I think one of the things that gets a little bit lost in the translation is the small number of players that are truly affected by changes to one and done, or meaning talking in the universe of NCAA college sports. You know, there's you know, pick a number, a dozen basketball kids. There's, you know, some number of football kids who would, you know, although they're pretty tied up for, you know, for 3 years in their sport. I don't see football making that change anytime soon. And so while it's, you know, it's big in impact, it is relatively small in numbers. The majority of college players, 90, whatever, you know, high 90s percent, don't come out after 1 year. And so the value of the scholarship does become a big part of it. I totally agree with that. And part two that's overlooked is this concept of, well, then only the superstars will get all the money. And I disagree with that also. You know, I was not a star college player on the national scale for much of my career, but I clearly could have gotten, some autographed things or appearances. And, a couple of $500 appearances a month goes a long way towards...
Makes a big difference, yeah.
You know, making a for a college kid who can't earn a penny, you know, just to be able to have gas money and car payment and that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm a big believer in this. I think that, you know, clearly there will be some issues when in the implementation, as they say, the devil's in the details. I can easily see the aggressive schools pre-lining up millions of dollars of deals for fill-in-the-blank player to get them to come. So that's going to have to be looked at. I can also clearly see small schools being able to say, hey, you know, I'm recruiting a second-tier player, but I can get you $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, in stuff when you're here, so you can at least go to school, you can, buy a car, you can, send some few bucks home to your family. So, at the end of the day, I think that as long as it can be managed appropriately, major if, clearly, sure. then at the end of the day, this is an idea whose time has come, but it has to be a national unified program. A dodgy, spotty program with different rules in different areas is that, to me, the biggest recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and that's why I said it. I just think it's a long way off from being a fait accompli. I just think that there's so many things that still need to be worked out. So when a politician comes out, and this is not against Mitt Romney says plenty of smart things, but when a politician says, "We're coming for you, NCAA," okay, good. Tell me you've done all that research. Just listen to the last 5 minutes of this show and tell me you know the answers to all those questions, then I'll take it seriously.
Well, I think that could be as much of a ploy of saying, NCAA, why don't you act on this before we do? You can already see the writing on the wall. You've got a bill passed in California. You've got New York, other states with proposals. Like I said, I think that the genie's out of the bottle in that regard. And so, but this is a case where, we've seen the NCAA in the past not act on certain things they should to stem these type of issues. So, we'll see if, they would obviously be in better control if they, if they set the table.
Yeah, no question about it. So I've been looking forward to doing the show with you, sir. I always am, but I have made a couple of statements on this radio station. I've said some things on Twitter that were not very popular, and I wanted to see if I could run them by an NBA veteran, a guy who I respect your position, and I've heard a little bit of your show off and on during the course of the week, and I just find myself being in the minority. And I have no issue with being in the minority, and I don't care if anybody agrees with me or not. I do believe something is true.
All right, fire away.
All right, if you'll indulge me. So,
oh, I can't believe you said that. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm just practicing. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So do you remember the show you and I did when the Maury tweets happened and China had first decided they weren't going to stream the games, or they weren't going to stream the practices, and then they weren't going to broadcast the exhibition games that were taking place in China? And you and I had a conversation, and it started out with Adam Silver's in a really tough spot here because there is huge amounts of money. And yet, this is a league where everybody says what they want, and LeBron does Shut Up and Dribble, the documentary, and Enes Kanter tweets about Turkey, and everybody's supporting him, and all these different things that happen. And now, what is Adam Silver supposed to do? Is he supposed to come down on Daryl Morey when he believes that Daryl Morey didn't do anything wrong, and he didn't do anything wrong? And what does he do? And I had suggested, and I don't think this was with you, but I had suggested that Adam Silver, through the union, get a message to all the players and say, I need to do something to save our financial interests, and just go with me on this, please. And then he has to either suspend or fire Daryl Morey. That was what I had suggested last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's a very hard position to make because how are you the freedom of speech league, but then you're doing it. But then you save face with the Chinese, which is something that's supposedly $2 billion in revenue. Which is nothing to sneeze at. This is not greedy people being greedy. That's $2 billion.
Well, and remember, Adam Silver's job is to make money for the owners.
Correct.
It's
correct.
Not to get involved in world geopolitics.
So Monday night, I saw on social media, I saw LeBron's comments criticizing Daryl Morey.
Mm-hmm.
And all I thought, and I thought it immediately, and I stay it, and I'm keeping this theory, I think he was coerced. I think LeBron James was a bad actor. I think he came off like he was reading from something from memory. And I think that Adam Silver asked a guy who has a tarnished reputation to begin with, do me a favor, take a bullet for me. This could mean a 20% reduction in our salary cap. The viability of the NBA depends on it. But if you come out and criticize Morey, the Chinese will appreciate it. Do me a solid. And I think that conversation took place. I have no proof. This is, again, just my theory. But I don't think LeBron James was the hypocrite that he's being portrayed to be. And again, I will say to the Stephen A. Smiths and the other, the Jason Whitlocks and all the people who have been crushing LeBron James in the last 48 hours, shut up. Because what he did, you know what he did? You know what he did? It sounded like one of those kidnapping victim videos. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like there's a guy in the background with a gun to his head. Like, he didn't look comfortable. And you know the word that he said that I didn't think made any sense? Is Daryl Morey needs to realize what happens with your tweets spiritually? What the hell does that mean? What's spiritually? That's not it. And I'm saying this. I believe it in my heart. I don't know LeBron James. I'm a fan of LeBron James. I am a fan. I like the entrepreneurial stuff he does. I watch that show, The Shop, all the time. I watch that documentary about free speech. There's no way a guy that did a documentary about free speech meant to criticize Daryl Morey unless he was coerced. And if you noticed that the Chinese have not canceled any of their sponsorship deals for the league, any of the broadcasting deals for the league, nothing has happened. And guess what? The NBA gets to walk away from this, not scot-free, but they got what they walk away with their relationship intact. And I think Adam Silver has to buy a nice bottle of champagne for LeBron James.
Well, that's an interesting theory because the reason LeBron is getting so, you know, in my mind, getting so brutalized in this thing is because his statements are so out of character with everything he said in the past. And that's the part that's hard to reconcile. Because, you know, and look, none of us, if you lined up everything we've ever said since we were 20, you know, would everything perfectly align with every other thing that you said, right? I mean, especially when you're in the business of talking a lot, because, you know, these things are complicated. And, you know, and I've spent, obviously, a lot of time not only thinking about this issue, but reading what other people are saying and talking about and kind of their different opinions. And when I see the people, like, supporting LeBron, and I'll get to your exact question here in a second. But
That's fine.
When I see the people supporting LeBron, they have to kind of pull out, like, an individual issue to support LeBron. Right. Nobody says, okay, you can criticize Daryl Morey because he should have known better than to do it while we were there. Okay. And yeah, you were put in a tough position. Okay. I get that. So they're pulling out that issue as a way to criticize Daryl Morey. And the problem is it's kind of indefensible for a social justice guy to come out and say, you know, China's China. They do what they do. There's nothing we can do about it. Without just, you know, getting the perception of you're in it for the money and what a hypocrite. So I don't know that there's a way out for LeBron in this deal, because again, it's so out of character, with where he stands in the past. So that does beg the question, why is he saying that? And this is where I'll get to your point.
Yep.
why is he taking the position that he does? You know, whether it's your exact scenario or whether it's, you know, meaning, you know, Adam Silver asking him to do it, or Nike asking him to do it, or his own management team saying, look, you got to be on the other side of this, you know, because one of the things we've kept talking about is, where's the end game? How does the NBA get out of this at the end of the day? You know, China's not a let bygones be bygones country. You know, the NBA is now the poster child for having to say, you know, American companies, you do not open your mouth. You know, so how does the NBA get out of this? And you and I talked about there, where's the pound of flesh going to come from?
Yep.
And how does Adam justify doing something to Daryl Morey in reality?
He doesn't work for
Adam Silver. And so let's do this. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk more about this because this is, you know, we're kind of getting to the end game. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways this can play out. So we're going to come back right after this. We're going to talk more about this issue with Seth Everett and Danny Shays on Centers of Attention.
When the East is in the house.
Oh, my God.
When the East is in the house.
This is Centers of Attention with Aton Thomas and Danny Shays.
And welcome back on Center of Attention. I'm Danny Shays with Seth Everett, sitting in today for Aton Thomas, and we're brought to you by Mattress Express, home of the number bed by Instant Comfort, and I am definitely digging those. So, Seth, we're talking more about the kind of the LeBron NBA China thing. Your question was about, do you think LeBron was, puppeted, coerced, given something to read with his comments about, Daryl Morey, and it begs the question, a couple of questions, really. You know, number one is, you know, now he's come out and said, okay, I'm done talking about this, but he has kind of left it hanging that, he made these comments that were, typically, you know, anti what he normally is, whatever the right word is. So, how does he get out of this, right? How does the NBA get out of this? And, as your point was, did somebody kind of, you know, put him up to it or say, see the light, look, this, you know, the solution here is is this a multi-stage part of the process to get back in China's good graces? Again, we said Adam Silver's job is to make owners money, not, you know, to change the politics of China. The NBA is in China. Basketball fans are watching NBA. You know, are they adopting our culture? You know, buying shoes and you know, listening to, you know, to hip hop and, you know, just the, you know, kind of bringing those cultural things to China that gives us a foothold. You know, we'll see how that develops.
Sure.
The flip side is, are we importing their culture of shut up and, you know, don't question the government? Another big issue, you know, that's kind of put LeBron in the hot seat.
But at the end of the day, there has to be a solution.
Go ahead.
But my problem with that is, you know, people say that this is LeBron and LeBron is being selfish. What's selfish about what he said? Nothing. And if you remember, LeBron James was one of the most vocal people when it came to Enes Kanter. And that I factored into this theory because Enes Kanter, remember, he would come out and tell these stories about how everybody was talking about him and problems with his family and problems in Turkey and death threats that he was receiving. And LeBron James was one of the people that said, we have your support. Adam Silver came out and said, we have your support. Like, all of that was done. And all I'm thinking to myself was, this saved Daryl Morey's job. Because now the focus has been on what a jerk LeBron James is. And nobody's talking about Daryl Morey's tweets anymore. And the funny part is that's what's going on in China too. Because LeBron James, they are... And I'm stereotyping here, but it's an educated stereotype in that they are enamored with celebrity. Celebrity in Asia is massive. And I know it from when I walked around Tokyo with Ichiro Suzuki once. And I saw the absolute adoration for everything this guy does. LeBron James says one thing about the Chinese, and it is on every newspaper, it's on every website, it's on any computer. Anybody who lives in China knows what LeBron James said. And that's why I'm saying I have to recognize.
Well, unless he said, I'm with Hong Kong, then there isn't a single person in China who would have heard that.
Correct. Correct. But if he says that, he knows the ramifications. And what I'm saying is, in his heart, I think this comes out eventually. I think it's going to come out in one of LeBron James's productions. You know, he has the show with HBO. He has the documentary with Showtime. He has all these different things that he has, his production company. This is LeBron James we're talking about here. And this is a guy who is maligned because he chose to go to Miami. This is a guy whose any move he makes has been controversial. He went to the Lakers and people admonished him for it. He's done those things before. And that's why from Silver, and I think Adam Silver's a really smart guy, and Adam Silver says, who's a guy that's Teflon? Who's a guy that can take the bullet so that I don't have to go out and do a fake firing of Daryl Morey or a fake suspension of Daryl Morey? Because that, to me, if LeBron James doesn't do what he does Monday night, I think the pressure on Adam Silver is to force the Rockets to fire him.
And well, and that is a great point. But kind of been on that bandwagon of, you know, somebody's going to have to pay the piper for this.
That's right.
And, you know, and here's kind of what's interesting. Look, in the real world, if we all want to step back and take a breath, everybody who works for somebody else knows there's things you can't say and there's things you can't do, right? There's especially in today's world with a lot of things that are fireable offenses. So, you know, that's and I'm not even talking about something illegal, you know, sexual assaults and those kind of things. Just, you know, saying the wrong thing to the wrong person about politics or about taking a stand or about, you know, we all know that we don't criticize our boss publicly. We all know that, you know, so having said that, LeBron's in the category again of being able to shift, you know, shift perception. So but there has to be an end to this, because here's another element. There's 29 owners affected by this who don't employ Daryl Morey. And they just got blindsided like everybody else got blindsided. And
right.
ESPN did a big piece on, you know, kind of how this thing laid out, where the team showed up in China. They had been on a long flight and the thing broke while they were in the air. They land and get blindsided out of the blue. You know, they're cloistered into the hotel. Adam comes and speaks. And then there's this kind of described as a confrontation between LeBron and Adam, with LeBron saying, what are you going to do to Daryl Morey?
Yep.
And it was a little left unclear as to whether he was saying that as, you better do something, or his position is, you better not do something. You know, it was left a little vague on which side he was on.
That's right.
But Adam defended it, saying, look, we didn't do anything when you criticized the president or other people criticized the president or take stands. I'm not doing anything to Daryl Morey. And so, you know, so it seems like LeBron understood early that, you know, there's got to be a reckoning for this. And, you know, and again, you have 29 other owners who are saying, dude, I don't give a rat about Daryl Morey. I'm losing money here. And so, you know, now Houston's got to be in the position of taking that stand of saying, no, we're not doing anything to Daryl Morey and Adam. So they're now in this. You know, they're in the real squeeze because they're getting it from, you know, they got to be getting it from other owners, because I don't know that 29 owners are going to say, sure, you know, cost me $10 million. What do I care? But, you know, go Daryl.
Right.
So and so that's, again, when we get to the end game of how this thing's going to play out, you know, in U.S. politics, we just kind of move on and things just sit and fester and, you know, nobody cares. China, that's not the way China operates. You know, there's going to be a pound of flesh here somewhere. And the question is, where is that? So now, long way of getting back to your point, saying, yes, I can see a scenario where LeBron is part of the flesh, right? Him coming out and saying what he said is part of that. You know, because you're right. Now all the Chinese population sees LeBron saying, you know, what he said, critical of Daryl Morey and supportive in his way of China.
Spiritually.
Spiritually. They're all rubbing Buddha's belly. I get it.
Right.
So now, but is that enough? And will that be enough? Or does Daryl Morey has to pay? He's obviously been completely silent since that minute. And, you know, because
I think, again, I think, and you asked that question. I think the answer to that is, I think, no, I don't think Daryl Morey has to pay, because I think this story is slowly turning the corner. And I think that now the conversation has been about LeBron James being a fickle freedom of speech supporter. Well, let's come down. And that's what ticked me off about some of these Jason Whitlocks and Stephen A. Smiths and all these yim-yams who came out and said, oh, LeBron has to be true to himself and LeBron's not true to himself. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys just shut up. You're ruining this. You are ruining this because you want to get your ratings and your clickbaits. You're criticizing LeBron James for saying something that literally looks like a kidnapping video. And I'm telling you, when I saw it and I'm looking at LeBron James, because one of the things I like about him is I like his body language. Mm-hmm. I love his body language when he doesn't get a call. I love his body language when do you remember what the guy's name escapes me? What's the guy that made the boneheaded play on Cleveland that he
J.R. Smith.
Yes, J.R. Smith, thank you. And when J.R. Smith makes that play, and you could see it in his face. He doesn't have to say one word, and you know everything he's thinking. And I love that about certain people. There are certain people that you can read their body language, and he's one of those people. And then if you watch the show Shut Up and Dribble, where LeBron James speaks about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's decisions to make anti-war announcements. And you didn't have social media back then, so you had to do it through press conferences and through journalists and through television interviews. And you had to do all these different things, but yet you never kept the NBA player down. And that's what Shut Up and Dribble, the documentary, is about. It's about the NBA's history with social and political issues. And it's all different issues, and it goes through time. It is a fantastic must-see documentary. And then say the guy who executive produced that documentary is criticizing Daryl Morey? Unless he was coerced, I don't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, there's another little wild card in here that we haven't seen yet, and that is Yao Ming. Since the problem started and is directed at Houston, right? I mean, you know, Houston merchandise being pulled from all the stores, Yao Ming, you know, Houston being the most popular team because of the Yao Ming connection. You know, he's been curiously absent from all of this. And so, you know, I'm going to just, you know, put out there that I think a solution at the end of the day is going to involve him getting into the middle of some type of mediation or whatever that's going to take. Because, you know, he is a guy with the popularity on both sides, you know, to kind of, you know, to be Switzerland in this, in some ways. And, you know, so I think we're going to see, that's my prediction. We're going to have a Yao Ming sighting, and with him, it's a sighting from a long way off. Yeah. But I think he's going to get involved here at some point. So there's my quick prediction. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back again after this on Centers of Attention with Seth Everett. I'm Danny Shays. Be right back.
This is Centers of Attention with Aton Thomas and Danny Shays.
And welcome back. This is Danny Shays with Seth Everett sitting in for Aton Thomas. And it's getting closer by the day. October 26th, World of Beer presents Hollow Hops Brewfest. In the shadows of the canyon at Destiny USA, over 100 craft beers from more than 50 breweries. Don't miss that. It's a brew fest with a Halloween twist. Comes dressed up for a costume contest, haunted games, live actors from Frightmare Farms, and Museum of Intrigue. Don't forget, got Halloween movies and more. General admission and VIP tickets available now for the two Brewfest sessions at hollowhops.com, or you can buy them in person at Branching Out Bottle Shop in Camillus. And Seth, Halloween, of course, my favorite holiday.
Really? You know, that's your favorite holiday?
You a big Halloween guy?
I mean, it's nice. I have children. I go trick-or-treating with them, but I wouldn't call it my favorite holiday. It's
kind of a pain in the neck.
It's kind of a pain in the neck holiday, if you ask me.
Well, who asked you? Oh, yeah, I did. No, I love Halloween.
Trying to think what's a better holiday. I don't know. Flag Day?
Yeah, right. What's I'm saying? You know, 4th of July, okay, you eat and drink. But, you know, it's Halloween, you get to be a kid. You get to dress up. You get to do stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm coming as you this year. I'll have to come up with a costume.
Uh-huh. You can, as a curmudgeon broadcaster.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny last was it Tuesday's show or I think it was Tuesday's show that I heard where you and Etan. Now, granted, Etan is not very well versed in baseball, so he's not going to fight you on anything you say, and you just go, "Man, the playoffs are flying through. We're getting done with the playoffs so fast. It's so, you know, basketball's 2 months long and hockey's 2 months long and football takes forever. But, man, that baseball just zooms right through." And Etan's like, "Yeah, sure. Etan, you could put a gun to his head. You could LeBron James him and he wouldn't know what he's saying." He's like, "Yeah, sure. Okay, that's good."
Oh, come on. You have a play-in game. You play one game. You play a 3 out of 5 where you play every day. That's gone and boom, like that.
No.
And now you got the, you know, 4-game sweep in 4 days. That's over. And now, you know,
but it wasn't in 4 days. It was in 7 days. There were 2 days before the series started. There's a travel day. There were 2 travel days in that series. That series took forever. The only difference between the NBA playoffs and the baseball playoffs is there's less games. That's it. There's less games and less teams make it. Yes, you're absolutely right on that. But nobody can call baseball fast at anything. That is the slowest game going.
Exactly.
And that commercial that they do, there's that commercial, the MLB, "We Play Harder." And it goes, "Yeah, we know baseball. We play it faster." And I said, I want to know who wrote the copy of that. Who wrote the copy of that and said baseball's fast? That
look,
you can
if you
call
pay,
baseball.
If you don't pay attention for a week in baseball, you've missed
you
two
missed
whole
nothing.
Series.
You missed
you
nothing.
Missed two whole series.
I did my taxes during a Rockies Brewers game. I'm telling you,
well,
I was
the
in
games
a press
are slow,
box. I
but
was
the
in a
series
press box.
Are like lightning fast.
No, they're not lightning anything.
I mean, look,
they're...
you complain. Oh, if there's an off day, the pitchers are going to seize up and vapor lock
when
because
do
it
the
throws
Nationals
off
play
their
again?
Rotation. And now you get okay, you get a rain out in New York for a day, and now they're like all thrilled because now they can jigger their pitching rotations, you know, because wow, a guy got an extra 12 hours to recover because the games are so bam, bam, bam that, you know, they got to bring a guy back. Oh, if I can bring him back on 3 days rest for 4 pitches, man, that's a, you know, you're rushing these guys back. I mean, it's
hating.
Unbelievable how,
now
how
you're
these,
just
these
hating.
Baseball
no,
players.
The fact
no, no,
is,
I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just making the comment that. You know,
look
you
at
got
the,
this
look at the Nationals.
Season that goes forever, 1,050,000 games, and then you crank the playoffs out in 3.5 weeks.
The Nationals have a full week before the World Series, and this has happened countless times. And I got into an argument with Charlie Manuel, the then Phillies manager, about this because I have a suggestion. This is how you fix this, and I'd say it about the Nationals. They can do it. For the Nationals to sit in cold, rainy, wet Washington and not do anything for 7 days gets you off your rhythm. 7 days off in a baseball season is like an eternity. So what I would do, there's this thing in Phoenix called the Arizona Fall League. It's a great developmental league, and it takes place in all the spring training facilities in Arizona. What I would do, if I'm Dave Martinez and Mike Rizzo and the Washington Nationals, take a chartered plane and go down to Phoenix for 4 days. And play charity exhibitions against the Arizona Fall League. Just play. Everybody plays 2 at-bats, 4 innings. Just go through the motions and play games, sell tickets, and give it all to charity. And stay in the hot warmth of Phoenix, Arizona, and stay hot. Stay hot. You're a hot baseball team. You're going in off-season mode. They are shutting it down. And all these pitchers aren't throwing, and all these hitters aren't seeing live pitching. It's a waste of time. It is slower than molasses. It's
well, there's no question you got to manage that. Look, it happens in the NBA all the time. The best team, they sweep. They got to wait for the next guy for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 days.
No, but in
they
the NBA, sweep, what they'll do is they'll move a series up. In the NBA, if both teams, if one series ends in 4 games and the other ends in 5, they'll move it up. It's something
no,
the NBA
that.
Can do, baseball doesn't do.
Yeah, well, that's because baseball, again, is if they go too fast, they got to slow it down. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be back right after this on Centers of Attention with Danny Shays and Seth Everett sitting in. Be right back.
This is Centers of Attention with Aton Thomas and Danny Shays.
And welcome back. I'm Danny Shays with Seth Everett filling in today for Aton Thomas on Centers of Attention. And you can also hear Seth and James Mungro after the game Friday night, SU Pitt. They'll be doing the Burdick Toyota postgame show. So,
believe it.
All Seth all the time. I love it.
Believe it. Late night, baby.
And Seth, it was 30 years ago today, talking baseball, the big earthquake during the World Series. And today's the big anniversary.
Yeah, 30 years today, and that was one of the scariest things. They were getting ready. Do you remember the footage? Al Michaels was getting set to call it, and they knocked off the air, and then everybody was running. No one knew what to do, and there was so much damage, and part of the bridge collapsed. And
Oh yeah.
My God, it was such a big deal, and baseball players didn't know what to do. They couldn't get in touch with their families. It was a circus, and I remember being in high school. In 89, and I watched it, and I just was glued to the television. I couldn't believe something like that had happened. I have never, knock on wood, I've never experienced an earthquake, and to see that, I just remember that like it was yesterday, and that footage is unbelievable, and I'll say this, as soon as I find it online, I'm going to retweet it.
Exactly. It's funny, I had a friend who was actually going to the game, and he told me he was driving down the highway, and he saw parked cars jumping off the road. And it was unreal. And driving, he didn't feel it as much, obviously, because he was already moving. But he, you know, a California guy, so he knew what to expect and, or, you know, what was going on. But, you know, a 17-second earthquake is a long time when you're in an earthquake.
Yeah.
I've been in a couple of little ones. You know, and it's like a Matrix moment where the windows start going, you know, and they're moving all over, and the sidewalks go. I mean, it's wild. Plus, there's no warning. A hurricane, at least you know, is coming. So in honor of the upcoming World Series, we'll see if we have an earthquake ready World Series here. Because again, they go by so fast. You know, you got to be ready. Seth, great having you again today. We look forward to doing it again in the future. We'll be back tomorrow on Centers of Attention. I'm Danny Shays, today with Seth Everett. We'll see you tomorrow.